This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh. If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
Kevin.
Yeah. If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Giggle by Amy Grant, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm a kid, Diego.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
I love to beat
everything.
Any of that noodle thing left?
Want to get in the bathtub?
Consider the source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
Consider the source.
Some threat!
But I find that, of course, on Twitter, which is where all the assholes in the United States and beyond go to get their advanced degrees in assholiness. Twitter is a lot of haters. Twitter is a lot of haters. Twitter is, you know, one-third interesting posts, photography, things like that.
I'm going to play the whole thing.
It's one-third tedious, uninteresting.
It's only fair.
Nonsense, and then it's one-third or more, maybe, of just abject hatred and malice.
Hey, he was in a movie called Malice.
So I deactivated that account today.
Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
I'm Caroline.
And we're here to have good Christian fun.
Kevin and I make up two-thirds of Twitter. I think I'm the pure malice.
Yeah, what was the other third? I don't even remember what you said.
Beautiful photography. I think that's Kevin.
I've posted some nice shots on there. I'll toot my own little horn with that. And I don't mean to dox you, Caroline, but can you tell me where you got your degree in assholery? What university?
From Clown College.
Clown College? Okay, cool.
Yeah, it was online.
I went to UMad, and I got my degree in assholery there.
Was that Alec Baldwin again?
Yeah. Oh, man, I should have texted you about this. Yes. He left Twitter.
No. I truly didn't even know he was on there.
You know who we have to thank for this? Scully. What? Gillian Anderson, in an indirect way, chased him off Twitter. Because when she accepted her Golden Globe for The Crown, or The Crayon, if you like, she spoke in an American accent. And she's kind of been flipping back and forth between British and American all her life because she's had dual citizenship, from what I understand. He quote-tweeted her speech. He quote-tweeted her speech and said, "She switched her accent. Interesting." Like trying to play.
Oh my God.
I'm in on the joke. I get it. I can understand why it's funny. And then people went after him, and then he talks about it ad hominem in the video, and he's off Twitter now because it's just
he's America's most sensitive man.
But he loves Instagram. That's the thing. He hates Twitter, but he loves Instagram. Instagram people are nicer here, and I think most of it has to do with on Twitter the video time limit is 220. On Instagram, it can be 10 minutes, baby.
Social media manager Alec Baldwin learns about the platforms, the different communities, the styles. Decided Twitter isn't worth it.
Nice work if you can get it. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we consider the source of all life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talk about Christian pop culture, the music and the movies and the entertainment made for and made by Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or make you go to church or convert you. Unless you're a guest on the show, then we're here to convert you, and we'll like pray over you afterwards and lay hands on the Zoom call. But for you, the listener, don't worry, we can't hurt you anymore. We can't get you. We don't know.
We tried, but we can't.
We tried. We tried to do an outreach. It didn't work. Yeah. And we're doing another singles ministry. It's this format called Singles Ministry, where we take a single song and we talk about it in length and detail.
As opposed to a full album.
Yeah.
Which always shot like an entire day for me.
A day? It takes you a day to listen to one album?
Yeah, because I wanted to listen through a few times. I wanted to get a feel, and then I wanted to find the highlights, the lowlights, the lyrics, everything. I mean, it was quite a bit of work.
Is the album dead in 2021? Adam Levine says there's no bands anymore. Bands do not exist anymore.
No more bands. Only shorts.
Truly, songs are getting shorter because the TikTok algorithms. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Is that fun?
Does that break your heart, Kevin?
No, I don't care. Wait, was that a left turn swerve? I'm sorry.
I was surprised.
Wait, I can go into Kevin T. Porter sicko mode. Like, the problem is the album has historically been the art form that we've all agreed upon as a monoculture.
You did seem defensive of the album for it before, but you've let that go. You've let it rest.
Well, I've let it go. Anything that young people are into that I'm not. And I've, you know what? I'm going to confess this right now, given the events of this week. I had a full album. As a millennial, I had a full album of songs dunking on Gen Z and the stuff that they're into and they like. I wrote it. I recorded it. I had music videos accompanying it. I blew a huge budget on it. Shoot. And then a few people put out a few videos that got a little bad attention and press on Twitter. And I thought better of it. And it's going back in the Disney vault with the rest of my
that's
work.
That's a shame. We were going to get such hits as Only Listen to Old Dad Rock. Why This Music Is Better. Paddington, aka go even younger than Gen Z. Go younger. That's the generation we need to worry about. Children's media.
And of course the hit single Let Me Have Lola Bunny, which was gonna climb to the
Lola
charts.
Back. Give me Lola back.
I want my Lola back. But we're not talking about those songs today. And we're not talking about Gen Z. We're talking about Amy Motherfucking Grant once again.
Yeah.
And a little song called Giggle. We can't talk about it alone, though. It's killed me that we haven't introduced our guests until now. We need to introduce our guests right now. Friends and folks, literally one of the funniest people I know. She is a TV writer. She is a comedian. You can listen to her podcast, Lecture Hall. Give it the hell up for Brothy Gupta!
Welcome to the arena.
Hi.
Hi, did you guys compose that for me?
Yeah, it was me. It's not Rich Mullins in 1982. It was me.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that nice?
Wow, what a warm welcome.
Okay, so low-key, I listened to a podcast the other day, and I'm not going to name them and give them shine at all because we're in fierce competition with them, but I listened to a podcast in which they compose songs specific to the guest each single week.
Wow.
Each single week when they introduce their special guests, they're like, yo, 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 her name is Gupta, ba ba da da do do ba doo da. Like they use my name? They use your name. And it's not, and
that's
you've never been on the show. I'll give that clue. Yeah, it's kind
of
fucked up. It's a little appropriate, if you ask me. But
oh, man.
I heard that bar said, and I was like, well, I'm simply not going to do that.
Oh, that's too bad.
It's a one size fits all. Usually if you time it enough, people don't care though. As long as you get that thing on the crescendo, everyone's fine. Everyone's having a good time, right? We're having a good time, right?
I really, listen, you have
my empathy when it comes to having TikTok sort of steal your idea in like a bite-sized format. I mean, I have been working on my screenplay Feta Pasta for so long.
Yeah.
And they just
took it.
They just took it.
And they just put it tweeted out it out. Yeah.
They just tweeted it out. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I've been working on this for years.
That's such a bummer.
Exactly.
Can I bring up an example of parallel thinking germane to this guest as well?
Yeah.
Now, Caroline, do you remember the big earthquake that happened last summer? There was a huge one. There was the big one.
I think
one.
I slept through that one or something.
Earthquake
Twitter. But I remember the news.
Came alive that night. So let me take you through my thought process with it. I'm gonna take it from my POV and then we're gonna expand it.
Yeah.
It happened, and when it happened, I forget the date that it happened. I forgot to look up the date. But just recently, Ruth Bader Ginsburg had passed away. She had died.
Yeah.
And I was on the phone with a friend of mine when it happened, like seconds after it happened. And I said, would it be in poor taste if I tweeted, because earthquake Twitter comes alive for LA, we all participate in it, we're all in the community. Yeah. Would it be in poor taste if I tweeted, that was Chadwick Boseman and RBG hugging? And she said, yeah, don't tweet that. I log on to Twitter not 2 minutes later, a little scamp, Brothy Gupta, had tweeted that was RBG and Chadwick Boseman hugging.
She had no friends to tell her no.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so from my perspective, here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
What happened was that I was fully in bed, and this was after a night of reading just the cringiest... just the cringiest tweets about, you know, RBG meeting Chadwick Boseman in heaven.
And saying king. And like, he says queen. That sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Bad like nightmare. The cringiest things. And then there was like another one from like someone claiming that her child, her like 4-year-old child, like did the Wakanda Forever thing and said Ruth Conda Forever.
No,
it was Busy Phillips. We can say that. Worst. It was Busy Phillips. We all know whatever the child did, it was Busy Phillips' child.
Exactly. Whoever the child was, whoever tweeted that. So then I, as soon as the earthquake happened, I wrote that tweet out as a draft. I like, because my boyfriend and I were both fully in bed by then, and I showed it to him and I was like, should I tweet this? And he said, he like laughed first. Which gave me the answer, but then his answer was no, absolutely not.
Wow.
And then I said, oh, yikes, I'm hitting tweet.
Oh, man. And then
it's
crazy to be on the call with two canceled Twitter celebrities right now. The backlash was overwhelming.
I think Brody can get away with certain things that I can't. Her voice on Twitter is a little different than mine, I would say. Because that went on to get
just saying I'm a woman of color.
Why?
Oh my gosh. Brody, when Chadwick's wife gave that stirring speech at the Golden Globes, were you like, oh, I bet he's nutting in heaven right now.
Listen, if I had watched, then probably, but I would have kept that to myself because I already tweeted about it.
I was mostly just flattered that I would come up with something that someone that I think is so funny and admires so much would think to tweet out as well.
And listen, I am so flattered that we had that parallel thinking.
Aww,
I think you're so
couple
funny.
Couple of scumbags. Couple of heartless souls.
Just a couple of scams.
Scampy little scumbags on the Good Christian Fun podcast.
Disrespect the scams.
Hey, I'll meet you in Wakanda, okay?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'll see you there. Yeah, a lot of people did. A lot of people did respond with...
Earnestly.
Well, a lot of people were real earnest.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you have to stop tweeting cringy shit like this, which they didn't understand.
Right.
But I also got, you know, who immediately texted me was Demi. He immediately texted me and he was so thrilled.
No, it was was a great moment. It was the reason, it's moments like this that make social media worth it. I don't care how many social dilemma documentaries come out. I don't care how much money Mark Zuckerberg and Jack have. For moments like that was RBG and Chadwick hugging, it makes all of the social media problems worth it.
The whole online community got to meet at a graveyard and just dance on the graves together. And that's what made it beautiful.
Choreographed,
same movement.
A flash mob on the graves.
Farting
on the headstones. A graveyard flash mob.
You know, and we don't talk about that enough, how trending topics on Twitter are like textual flash mobs on the internet that we get
they
to
really
participate
are. That's actually
in.
A beautiful way to put it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, that is, I mean, it's a congregation.
Congregation. Are we talking about church?
We're talking about a church.
Are we talking about religion?
I came prepared.
Well, we would love to hear how prepared you really are for the afterlife right now and talk about your religious upbringing and what it was.
Okay, my religious upbringing was not very... It was more cultural than it was religious. So I'm Hindu. My family is Hindu. And we didn't... There wasn't as much of like the real religious sort of like teaching us the Sanskrit prayers and things like that as it was like, oh, this is a religious holiday. A bunch of people are going to come over and we're all going to eat and then you're going to sing for them. And then other children will sing and dance for our pleasure. Okay. And then they'll all go away and then they'll scatter.
It was more just a schedule than a...
it was really just a schedule.
Itinerary.
That was... Yeah. That was my religious upbringing, was just an itinerary. But I remember I actually have like quite a chilling memory of my religious upbringing, which was that I was... So my mom did all of the prayer ceremonies and stuff like that. So we had a room in our house that had a lot of our cultural artifacts. So we had these like little idols of our deities. And so my mom would, every holiday or whatever, because it would sort of be like the way that they were celebrated was sort of like the feast of, and then some saint or something like that. Except all of these figures are, there's no like evidence that they were real. Because some of them are a person with an elephant's head.
We don't have a lot of proof for Christ either, anything could happen.
By the way, side note, I feel like every like few months they come out with some kind of image where they're like, we've made this computer generated Christ, and like every time it inches closer and closer to just being Oscar Isaac.
I know they can't help but make him just a little handsome every time.
Yeah,
exactly. Oh, I see what you guys are doing there.
Oscar Isaac himself, that connection, he was in a Christian punk band, I believe, for real.
Oh, yeah.
Was he?
Right. He was,
yes. A ska band or something? Yeah.
Yes. We'll have to do more research on this. So every time you watch an Oscar Isaac movie, it's actually a Christian movie. Ex Machina, Christian movie.
Like Jesus.
Inside Llewellyn Davis, Christian movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moon Knight on Disney Plus, Christian TV show coming out.
Star Wars, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Yes.
Obviously. But anyway, so I was like, there was like one of these that we were doing, and I was like in middle school when I was like angsty and like questioning everything. And I asked my mom, I was like, God isn't real though, right? And I like asked it as she was doing these prayers. And then after she was done, she was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't really think so. I was like, what?
Like, hey.
And then she was like, no, it's more of like the tradition thing.
Yeah.
I just do it because my grandpa did it. But yeah, God isn't real.
How old were you at the time when you asked that question?
I was like 11. I was like, you don't believe in this, do you? And she was like, no.
Yeah, I love that you were gearing up for like a fight, you know, like me and my mom.
I'm really gonna
separate myself from her right now.
Exactly. I'm about to come into my own.
I love
that. Did you grow up with any worries or fears about like the afterlife and like, oh, if I don't believe this, then maybe I won't end up in a good place or something like that.
You know, what I grew up with was diagnosed OCD.
Oh, yeah.
Which I find is actually quite similar, because that it's like a thing that I really thought of myself for a very long time when I was a kid. Like, oh, I'm so superstitious. But really, it was like obsessive, repetitive actions that I would think I would be like, if I don't do this, I'm going to hell, or like my parents are going to die or something. It would be like touching doorknobs. So right. I was like, so it was like that kind of thing that I mentally tied into my religion. Yes. Does that make sense? I feel like.
Oh, totally. It's a common experience too for people's like, even just like mental illness or diagnoses or whatever to like merge into the faith. And a lot of the time, depending on the church you're in, like they won't disagree with you either. You know, you should pray to be saved like all the time, or like do these things, you know, to like show your dedication to God. You know, they're not like picking up on the fact that it's obsessive. It could totally like bloom into a really big thing. Or like another one is sometimes people with bipolar disorder also have like delusions of grandeur and feel like they're a prophet from God and things like that can happen as well. And you know, not every church obviously is trained in mental health. So it happens a lot.
Well, because you want good disciplined children to be afraid first and foremost, especially when they grew up.
Exactly. It is good. It's helpful.
It is a
fear-based thing.
Yes. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't really, I mean, I honestly didn't really grow up thinking that much about like heaven or hell. Just because like we didn't grow up, like those things weren't really taught to us, like those sort of bigger like concepts mm-hmm. behind religion weren't really taught to us. And it was really more like my parents would just like read us picture books of mythology. Mm. And that was kind of the extent of our like religious upbringing. My dad is kind of spiritual, but he's like, he grew up. Actually, he went to boarding school at a Hindu monastery.
Oh, cool.
In like this sect of Hinduism called Ramakrishna. I think that's what it is. I don't know. So he like, as a result of that, he like is very like meditative. Like he meditates a lot. He like really like he values a lot of like that aspect of it, like a lot of the sort of a lot of like the abstract spirituality,
Headspace app,
exactly. Well, that's where they came up with it. They were like, we've got to come up with the Headspace app, and everyone was like, what the hell is an app?
And your dad was like, I got something to say.
Yeah.
And this old noggin.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what makes me the richest person in the world
now. Awesome.
My dad invented the iPhone in the 70s.
Isn't that cool? How that it can come from anywhere.
And that's it can come from anywhere.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Jobs would always say that. That was his little sign off at all those events. He'd be like, and remember, kids, it can come from anywhere. And then he'd tap dance off the stage.
Even your dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He inspired so many generations to invent the iPhone.
Every generation has its iPhone.
Greta Gerwig said, write your movie. Your dad said, invent your iPhone.
Make your iPhone.
Invent your iPhone. And it. Yeah, and it looks stunningly close to his.
Yes.
So did he encourage you towards any sort of spiritual practices at all, or that was that just totally his own thing?
Oh, it was, we ended up having, like, I was a very anxious kid. Mm. And so he, like, both my parents made me do, like, a lot of, like, breathing exercises and yoga and stuff like that. It would be a while before they were like, yeah, therapist sounds good.
Right. Yeah.
But still,
and then the therapist is like, do meditation and yoga.
Therapy, yeah, the final boss of dealing with anxiety. Yeah,
exactly. The therapist is like, have you heard of the Headspace app?
Because your dad has.
Your dad invented it.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So it feels like it was sort of irreligious in a way, even though like the practices existed and kind of, I mean, how do you see yourself now on the spectrum? Would you say atheist? Would you say agnostic? Irrelevant?
You know, I don't think about it very often. I will say that. I do. You know what's interesting is that I treat a lot of it as meditation now. So a lot of it is just tied for me to like mindfulness and like and transcendental meditation. I don't know if either of you have ever practiced David Lynch's.
Did somebody say transcendental meditation? Hi, it's me, David Lynch, Zoom bombing the podcast.
You know who else likes that is Jerry Seinfeld.
Hey, yeah, Jerry I'm Seinfeld.
In the podcast as well. I've been TMing for 17 years, which incidentally is my favorite number in age.
We gotta get Lorne Michaels on here. I mean, do I you meditate? Doing
hey, it's me, Lorne Michaels.
You are doing some impressions that he's got to see.
Show me this the meditation. Kevin's audition.
Yeah, this is your audition.
Did you know SNL is accepting Zoom recorded podcasts as audition tapes now?
Yeah, they are. Yeah,
that's so convenient for you.
It's progressive. I know. Boyfriend. Well, and if you listen to the last 5 episodes of this show, it will become apparent that yeah. is. Caroline has these kind of flimsy segues I tell her to do, and I'm like, hi, I'm the mask. Somebody stop me over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I've never been more relevant than 2021. Wear me. Obviously.
Caroline, yeah, so, what's it like constantly having to introduce characters?
Oh, it's a treasure, it's a treat, it's delight, you know, it's always a surprise, and, you know, whatever I can do to support my friend getting onto that sketch comedy show,
that
I'll do it, you know, like, he loves it, he's always supported it, he's always been a vocal advocate for it, he says it gets better with time, and gets so I just hope time. To see him on
By the way,
famously.
And Caroline is saying that sketch comedy show, we're not being specific. It could be SNL. It could be Studio 60. I'll settle for Studio 60. Studio. It could be Weekend Tonight from Don't Think Twice. Tonight. Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's probably something like that.
Weekend Tonight.
Could be Mad TV.
Yes.
All That.
Yes, we're going to reboot Mad TV again. We're going to reboot All That again. I love that. Fun. But you were transcendentally meditating before David Lynch just barged in here.
Yeah. David, get out of here.
Okay.
It's my podcast now. I kind of like use it as meditation, but I will say that like I understand where my mom is coming from more so these days. Where I'm like, yeah, this isn't really connected to like a strong belief in a higher power. But there is something nice about like the tradition of it and like keeping the cultural tradition of it alive.
Yeah.
Especially when you're in America, especially when you're not around it ever.
Big time.
It's like nice to sort of it's nice to sort of have that like, you know, in the ICU still just going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like that connection to, you know, generations back that you feel probably too of like, oh yeah, this is like my family has been doing this and like I know these people too.
Yeah. So that's what I mean when I say it's really more about like the culture around it than the actual sort of like strict belief in God or like scripture or anything like that.
I was just thinking, I was like, oh, I wonder if evangelical Christians are like that, but I don't think they are in some way. I think there are some people that are like culturally, you know, Christian and like they will celebrate Easter and do a bunny hunt and do like Christmas or whatever, but not like think and meditate every day on like the word of Christ, you know, and like how it affects their lives. But most people that do that, it's like, you're not proud about it. You know, you wouldn't say that because if you're like really a Christian, you know, you would be like so dedicated.
You wouldn't say I'm really protective of the bunny hut. It's like a real important kind of ritual for my people. And I feel like it's
like connect
for me to
my
honor
family.
The people that came before who hunted bunnies and went to Creaster services.
Yeah. Like, exactly. Yeah. Anytime you hide something, it's appropriating bunny culture.
It is. Yeah. And that hurts us. I do think it would be different though if like, you know, I lived in another country and my whole family had moved for a long time. You know, I think I would feel a lot more like we need to do Christmas. You know, we need to really do it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to see it anywhere else. I'm not like steeped in it the way I would be in America or whatever.
Exactly.
Do you think it's analogous like for Christians to be in another country, Caroline? Because I feel like, I don't know, it still feels like the most dominant, oppressive religion in the world in a way. So I don't know if I would feel that protection.
It just depends on what country you're in.
I guess so.
You know, like if I was in the UK, maybe not so much, you know, but if I was living in like mainland China or something like that, I think it would feel different.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story, Brothy. It was so good getting to know that. Do you talk about this often? I can't tell if this is like, because sometimes we have people on the show and they say, I never talk about this. I've never thought about this in my life. Or
wow.
just like
and
in
so
a long
you guys
time
really,
or whatever.
I
just
really
want to
know
we're unlocking something in you.
We crack open. We want the scoop.
Yeah.
This podcast is an arc towards catharsis. And we're at the end of act one right now. And, and we need to get there.
We need to get there. I don't talk about it that often just because it doesn't come up. Or is it because I keep it a secret? And you guys have unlocked something.
Ooh, and isn't
it
interesting?
I'll let the listener decide.
The distinction between secrets and privacy. That is interesting.
All right. Well, we all have to share a secret now. Oh, my God. Because that's the agreement.
Okay. Caroline, share a secret.
My crazy secret is that sometimes we go a month without washing bed sheets. And I fart in my bed a lot.
Okay. Yeah. No. Hey, and thanks for sharing that. And I'm glad that
thank you,
Brothy and I could be safe enough for you to share that in this context. And just
this
know that you're not judged.
Space.
You are loved no matter what, no matter how long it's been since you washed
you
your
are
sheets.
Valued. Yeah.
We respect you. We honor
this
you.
This is legit really touching. Because it's also a true secret.
What's happened here is that we have all shared some vulnerability, right? Yeah. Well, Kevin's about to.
And then we found acceptance, too. It's really nice.
Right, but we're a little funnier about it. So we're like the Brené clowns, as we said before on the podcast. Isn't that sweet?
Ooh, that's a good drag name.
Brené clown.
Speaking of, when I was listening to the song today, I was like, oh, Amy Grunt. That's my drag name.
Amy Grant.
Amy Grant.
Okay. I like that.
That's great.
Or Pay Me Grant. That could be a good one.
Pay Me Grant. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's also Flamey
Grant. Oh, that's
Grant,
like...
That is a drag queen.
Flamey Grant.
Who is great.
Okay. My secret that I've never shared.
Yeah.
Is that someone I used to work for, one time I had their email account and I logged into it and read their emails, which was an invasion of privacy.
And
when I say one time,
thank you
it
for
might
sharing.
Have been more than one time.
I have
thank
done
you
that
for sharing.
Well.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for receiving
that
too.
That makes sense. And, you know, we're all nosy, truly.
Yes, we are. I don't believe anyone that says that they wouldn't do that. I just have my mom's email logged in on my computer at all times. But I will say that that's more for like to pre-answer
like
the question. Yeah, yes. That's more like to anticipate answers to questions that she will have.
That's
oh
helpful.
No, like you see a Google alert come through on her inbox about you.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, mom, just want to let you know I'm okay.
Exactly.
I'm not canceled today. Chadwick Boseman is dead, though, and it's all
exactly.
good.
Exactly.
Apropos of nothing, mom, just checking in, but in case you ever happen to need to reset your router, I was thinking about it, and I think this might be the right code.
Exactly.
For it.
Exactly.
That's
or
wonderful.
Like, you know, there are other folders. That's where coupons might be. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to Michael's tomorrow.
Mars needs moms, and we need our mummies too.
I'm kind of a helicopter child in that way.
Dang, now I want to log into my mom's email. I feel like I could curb some information that she's getting.
Listener, this is going to be the GCF challenge for this week. Hack your mommies. Hack their email accounts.
Hack
not to snoop and
email.
Spy, but to serve and honor them. Even
yes.
better, preemptively.
Respect.
We call it a preemptive strike, as old
yes.
GWB once taught us how to do.
Oh my God.
Hack mommy.
Hack.
Everybody hack
hashtag
mommy.
Hack mommy.
Hashtag hack mommy. That's a hashtag for the podcast this week. Brothy, thank you for sharing your story. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
like.
To
feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/GoodChristianFun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. The first month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's BetterHelp.com/GoodChristianFun.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I remember the first movie I saw alone in a theater was Syriana. Do you guys know this movie at all?
No.
It's a George Clooney movie he won the Oscar for because he gained 30 pounds.
Yeah, you got to give him the Oscar there.
It's like, look what I did.
Big sacrifice for George to do that.
Yeah, I was so sorry. Yeah, okay, we got it.
That was your first movie alone, Kevin?
I think either that or Rent. Actually, it might have been Rent.
Rent.
I think it was Rent.
So good.
I've got to go see Syriana because I'm Syriana about movies.
That's exactly why he said to.
And I logged in on my little document that I kept on my computer. I was like, Syriana saw November 16th, 2005.
Citizen Kane, check. Syriana, check.
Enough said. Check.
Moulin Rouge, check.
Check four times in theater.
Yeah.
Chicago, check four times in theaters, baby.
Wow.
Baz is coming back big with that Elvis Presley nonsense.
Baz boys.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
I'm gonna sing and dance for you.
Yeah.
Oh, how fun. Well, we should get back into this and keep this same playful energy.
Love it.
Okay, let's do it.
Keep the laughs coming.
The giggles, the hee-hees, the ho-hos. Okay, let's do it. Welcome back to Good Christian... No, I'm going to take that again. Sorry, because I did Welcome Back to Good Christian Fun.
I can't believe we're not going to put any of that in the pod. That was my best stuff.
Okay, now we have to put all of it in the pod. Damn it.
Rihanna about movies? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time to do another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Caroline, were you yawning or screaming just then? Because you covered your mouth.
Screaming.
You're screaming? That's cool. This is the part of the show where we talk about one single Christian song, and we talk about, we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down in the form of a holy toast or roast. Brothy, do you have any experience with religious pop culture, Christian pop culture at all? Do you know any of the movies or the music or the entertainment at all?
I know of Kirk Cameron.
Ooh.
Right. Our champion. Our new champion.
Yes.
Yes.
I know of his sort of career trajectory.
Right.
I have seen, I saw one Christian movie forever ago, and I forget what it was, and I forget everything about it.
But
do you guys
want to
go into?
Yeah,
but that I didn't forget the feeling.
Yeah, I didn't forget the feeling, and I remember it was like it's never a good idea. I feel like to start a movie at 2:30 p.m. And it just because you end it at a weird time. It's not time for dinner yet. Mm-hmm. You just kind of have to, but it's not, you know, long enough away from it that you can really do something else.
Yeah.
So that's the time that I saw a Christian movie that I forget everything about.
We appreciate your vulnerability. But yeah. Once
God's
again.
God's time.
So Christian rock, maybe not an area of interest or knowledge for you. Have you heard of Amy Grant before?
I have the same thing.
I have heard of Amy Grant. Okay. Yes.
And just to recap, Caroline, who is Amy Grant?
Oh, good. Since 1979, mm-hmm. Amy Grant has been a forerunner in the movement for Christian pop music in the contemporary Christian music industry. She has such hits as Fat Little Baby,
Just
Tennessee
Fat Baby,
Christmas,
no little.
and she, most importantly, is the queen of our hearts.
You may know her from the song Baby Baby. That's probably her most famous one. Which sounds like a nice day on the boardwalk. and she is still a recording artist. She has a new single out that she collabed with someone. I don't know. And I think she was going to go on tour because Heart in Motion, her biggest album, just had its 30th anniversary.
Wow.
And she just did a performance on Good Morning America the other day, a couple of weeks ago, as we're recording it.
I watch that.
This. And it is her in a studio with a lot of people, which I think with some of this stuff, it's just, you know what? It's over. It's just over. Some people like the Tiny Desk stuff where you see artists where it's like, oh, there's like 12 people there. Okay,
yeah.
It's over. It's over for you.
Yeah.
I did not understand that it could be
now.
Over.
Uh-huh.
I would like for it to be over, but you can just choose mm-hmm. if you want to.
I think now she's also transitioned into kind of like the queen of Christmas. So she's got a lot of Christmas music and she does a lot of Christmas concerts. And I think that's like been her sweet spot for a little while.
Yeah, four Christmas albums to her name. But she started young. She was a young child. She was a little baby herself when she started. This song and this album we're talking about where the song comes from, she was 19 years old when she recorded this, which I do think is helpful context.
She was very much.
She was a child. She was a little kid. And the song we're talking about is a song called Giggle. We all listened to Giggle before coming on here today,
yes.
right? We did our private listening session. Okay. Well, then I think it would be just for the benefit of the listener who may not know, this is not one of her hits. This is not one of her greatest songs even, but it does exist and it does bear worth talking about. It does bear worth talking about.
It does bear worth talking about, mm-hmm. And bears aren't real.
Bears aren't real.
Bears aren't real. No, they are not.
Wait, they're not? I have something to say about that.
Ooh, Kevin, what if you found out Paddington was a man in a costume this whole time?
Yeah, what would you do?
Caroline, for real, I'm going to have to cut this out of the pocket. We can't joke about that. We can't joke about that.
He was eating a sandwich, but the snout opened up to a human mouth.
It's like not even funny.
Marmalade.
Okay, you can say it's just more stuff I have to cut out.
It's too far. Okay, yeah, I'll stop giving you more work.
Okay, so here's the song Giggle by Amy Grant.
That he's always gonna love me. So just laugh out if you think I'm uncool, playing the part of the fool. 'Cause I love you, don't you know how I love you? Oh, well, I do.
Okay, just 6 more minutes.
When I see somebody crying, some person who's real mean, I wanna quickly walk right by him, but I'll stop for you, dear Lord. But must I hug him real tight now? He smells so bad, I'll faint. What will my friends think if they see me kill my pride? I can't.
Taint.
Well,
okay, that's a good stopping point. That's Giggle by Amy Grant. There's another verse after that. This was a listener submission, by the way. The listener's name I do not have handy on me. But you know what?
That's why you found this.
This is how it works in the kingdom of God. Our treasures and reward are not on earth. They're in heaven. So when you get to podcast heaven, when you die, you will be thanked on whatever podcast you're listening to there.
Yeah. For your contribution.
Dear listener, thank you for your service.
But you won't be thanked by us.
If you're a good listener in podcast heaven, you will get a shout out.
And in podcast heaven, all the Patreons you're subscribed to are free.
They're all free.
Shout they out. Pay you to listen to them.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's raining shout outs from heaven.
I just got $2,000 on my bank account from Lecture Hall. Wow.
Yeah.
Giggle.
Giggle, giggle, giggle.
Giggle shouldn't be the centerpiece of this song, but it is.
Giggle should not?
Oh, I don't know. Why is giggle, you know, why you title it Giggling? Why is it all about the giggles? I guess.
I like this rhythm you're getting into.
Being laughed at, you know, it's painful in a way.
It's a central metaphor.
Over everything.
Yeah, giggle, giggle true. If you want to, but I know it's still true that that's a capital H. He's always going to love me, so just laugh out. If you think I'm uncool, playing the part of the fool. So it's basically...
Can I say...
Yes, no, please, go ahead and speak.
I was just going to say that after I listened to it, I pulled up the lyrics and I thought, wow, this is so smart because this he, until I pulled up the lyrics... could have been anybody.
Okay, and we see Brothy's locked into one of the fundamental tenets of Christian contemporary songwriting, is that the he could be anyone until you realize at the end it is God. And by God, we do mean the Lord Jesus Christ.
Boyfriend or Jesus.
Yes. Right.
Yes. Oscar Isaac.
Or Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, we should start referring to it as that. It could be Oscar Isaac or Jesus. Or no, boyfriend or Oscar Isaac. Or no, it's Oscar Isaac or Oscar Isaac. It could be Oscar or Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Oscar if you're dating him. Gosh. Isaac if he's our Lord. Out of respect.
Yes.
Call him by his
on
last
a first
name
basis. Man, yes. That would have changed everything if I had all this time imagined Oscar Isaac rather than the strange white man in my head who's vaguely threatening.
You wouldn't be too horny to pray?
No, I'd be praying
THTP?
A lot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The prayers would get more intense. They'd be more concentrated. So basically, this song is saying haters gonna hate. Or giggle.
Yeah.
Haters are gonna giggle. And I think, you know, for us in our adult lives, we have found that to be true. That haters are gonna giggle at us, and they will laugh at you sometimes. And sometimes they'll laugh in your face. Sometimes they'll laugh behind your back. Sometimes they'll laugh at you in the comments section. Sometimes in the DMs. And that's just something we have to deal with. And especially if you're standing up for what you believe as a professed, outspoken, loud Christian.
And if people are laughing at you because you want to hug a mean, stinky person real tight, that hurts. It's hard.
It's hard to get giggled at.
It was the sweet day. And I was thinking, like, oh, yeah, she was 19. Like, the context for this is maybe, like, high school, which was a couple years ago. And then I was thinking, like, man, when's the last time that I felt like being cool was really important to me, you know, or like I was worried about the in-group or the out-group? Because once you're an adult for long enough, like, you just have your friends, you know, and you're not super worried about, like,
wait, what,
the social hierarchies? Wait, you're not of like worried the about group this? That you're entering in this, you know.
Wait, about are you being worried cool? about this, Brody?
No, I left it alone.
Am I alone here?
Then I remembered, oh, the last time I was worried about that was at a Cinespia movie screening. I did not feel cool there, and I wanted to.
Wait, which one? What was the movie?
It was a drive-in for Sister Act 2.
Oh, so literally a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is a very recent experience.
Oh, I know. And, you know, that's one thing the pandemic has taken away from us, too, is the opportunity to be in a situation in which we do get giggled at and laughed at.
Yeah. Yes.
A little bit.
Yes.
And we miss that. We mourn that.
We mourn that. We mourn being put in our places.
Mm-hmm. Because humiliation brings humility, as Brené Brown would say. Doesn't it sound like something she would say?
Brené Clown.
Maybe, yeah. Brené Clown would say that.
And yes, we talk about that verse. When I see somebody crying, some person who's real mean, I want to quickly walk right by him. But I'll stop for you, dear Lord. But must I hug him real tight now? He smells so bad I'll faint. What will my friends think if I kill my pride? I can't. I can't.
You know, it kind of undoes the like act of kindness and generosity when you call him stinky in your song as well.
Yeah. I will say it's like it reminds me of that that tweet from our former president, Donald J. Trump, wherein he says something along the lines of, like, why would Kim Jong-un say that I was, like, a certain way when I've never called him, like, fat and stupid? Oh, well, I thought we would be friends. I really butchered it, but it was, like, it was the meanest sort of teenage kid thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying that you see Kim Jong-un in this person that Amy Grant has to hug. That's a 19-year-old
girl. I'm saying,
when you
yes.
heard the song, you're imagining a 19-year-old girl hugging.
Talking about Kim Jong-un.
Oh, yes, exactly. Okay. And see.
Oh, here's the tweet. It was, why would Kim... I found the tweet. Why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me old when I would never call him short and fat? Oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend. And maybe someday that will happen.
I tried
like,
so hard to be
his friend.
Like,
you don't have to call him stinky. What if he's listening to this song?
Oh, yeah. Well, I tried so hard to be his friend is actually plagiarism from a comment I got on my live journal in 2005 in high school.
Gotta kiss him goodbye.
Yeah, so he's a plagiarist too.
Yeah.
What is this supposed to be the situation? Is this a stranger? Is this an unhoused person? Is this a guy that she sees often?
Oh, maybe. That's a good question. Well, it seems to be a lot like set at school. And like her friends would have to be there to laugh at her. So
when you hear this music, do you think school? Oh boy, I got all like, my books, my vinyls, classes, I'm ready to go.
Yeah. It's like when Kevin and I write songs on second service is how they sound basically.
Hey. Do 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 do. That is true. That is true.
Who can't help it? It's our natural mode.
It's like that is the music that inspired the creation of the carnival. It is not the other way around.
Yeah. It all comes back to the circus.
There's no music video that exists for this song, but if there was one, you can imagine Amy Grant putting on her little flapper dress, her little bob wig, and doing her best Velma Kelly. Ladies and gentlemen, Velma.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love it. Sounds like novelty. You do hear a little xylophone and you hear a little. And this is her. She has sole songwriting credit on this song. So
this is
this
all Amy is right here.
Fully
Amy
her Ridge. Creation. From the twisted mind of Amy Grant comes Giggle.
Yeah, it's very much like a kid's song.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very much written for kids.
Yeah.
Also, there's a little bit of culture wars toward the end here.
Yeah.
I know. Okay. I was so going to say, it gets heavy.
We'll read mm-hmm. that. Wait, I'll just play the verse. I don't need to read it. Amy's going to sing it better than I could ever read it. Let me play
so
it.
So true.
Situation.
Sitting in a class at school, everybody's talking evolution. No one talks of you. My hand goes up. I don't want to be too pushy. But there is such a joy they're missing, saying God is dead.
There's such a joy they're missing when they say God is dead. They're talking about evolution. So at 19 years old, Amy Grant was like, fuck. The biggest problem at school is people talking about evolution, and I have to do something about it. I have to speak up.
And I hope that one day Kevin Sorbo will star in a film about this very topic and turn this sentence around.
You know, and it's like how pastors talk about the Bible. Some could say it's literally a bunch of disconnected books that then got randomly pushed together and mushed together and is written by a bunch of guys. And there's a bunch of inaccuracies and a bunch of inconsistencies. And you should definitely question the accuracy and the validity of it. But actually, no, it's one story. Start to finish. It's one narrative. In the same way, Christian culture is one story and one narrative. We see in this song and here in 1979, Amy Grant saying, they're saying God is dead. And then we hear the answer to the question posed in this song in the 2000s in the film trilogy, God's Not Dead 1, 2, and 3. And of course, the Newsboys song, God's Not Dead. It's one story the whole time.
It is. Wow.
And Christian music.
I don't know if there's any other proof of God. Like, I don't know what it would be.
What
because,
would it be?
Like, the fact that all these people, they didn't meet each other, you know, and they all came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, they weren't in the room. This was just inspired divinely, you could say.
Is that a coincidence? No.
It was divinely inspired, but it was inspired by the drag performer Divine.
I do love that at 19, she's like, biggest problem in this world right now is that schools are teaching evolution.
Mm-hmm. And it all starts there.
I did. Yeah. She was 19 in the year 1979. So at the start of the Iranian Revolution.
Wow. Yeah. This is also, I mean, this is time to, I don't know, someone could correct me on the history of this, but like when private Christian education like really became a lot bigger was like the 70s into the 80s and like big, you know, hence Kevin and I existing and being like this. Like, I feel like it was all leading into that, or like homeschooling. And like, it was because evolution was starting to be taught in schools, or like because they were trying to have a pluralistic religious experience at a public school. You can't pray to God in the classroom anymore, or things like that. And that disrupts like the Christian idea that this nation is like fundamentally Christian.
Yeah.
And so even our public spheres like belong to Christianity. And if you don't mention that, you're actually repressing me, you know, or like persecuting.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the country is supposed to be like a missionary state.
Yeah. It's like, I think ideally for a lot of evangelicals, it would be a theocracy, and that would like work just
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we see a vulnerable young child, Amy, nursing the wounds that she got from the culture war, from the Scopes monkey trial.
Yeah.
That battle like, lost on the front lines.
And yeah, the pain, the bullying.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I love him. Don't you know how I love him? Well, I do. That's how this song is.
It kind of peters out, I'm not going to lie. She gets like really worked up about evolution, and then it kind of takes it all,
just loses
takes all
conviction.
The... Yeah,
I would
kind of takes all the fuel out.
I would love if Brothy, after this podcast, because she's not going to listen to more Christian music after this. I hope for the rest of your life, when you hear the phrase Christian music, you just hear this song in your head.
100%.
This is our best stuff too.
This
I would
is
be
the
lying.
Cream of the crop.
This is our favorite.
I would be lying if I didn't say that I'm gonna listen to it again after. What a delight. Damn. If you don't listen to the words, what a goddamn delight.
Brothy, you know, who really loves this is Kirk Cameron. Sweetening the deal?
Yeah, it's really it more appealing.
Or celebrity endorsement.
A celeb endorsement.
He's not still doing the rallies. What happened? Is he taking the vaccine?
I need to look him up. You know,
I mean, he probably already got it, right?
COVID? Oh, yeah, probably.
COVID or the vaccine?
I mean the vaccine.
Oh, vaccine? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. I think he's like trying to get a group of people to not do it. And then I think that he's just going to like kind of secretly do it.
Secretly, someone, yes.
Brothy, write the screenplay. The head of the anti-vax movement is secretly getting vaccinated and then it's revealed.
Yeah. Okay. I'm writing it, but it's going to be a rom-com.
Oh, and the romance is between the anti-vaxxers and science, and they hate each other.
Yes,
at the beginning.
Exactly.
And the anti-vaxxers are trying to put the hospital, the little hospital around the corner, out of business.
No.
Exactly.
The local essential oil monger, you know, is being driven out of town. The healer.
The apothecary.
Yes.
The local apothecary is being driven out of town.
Yes.
Netflix, anti-vax rom-com. If I don't see that as a turnstile on the app in the next 18 months, I'm canceling my sub.
It's such a perfect one because, you know, they can't kiss the whole movie because then one of them will get sick. But then, like, when they do kiss, that's going to be a big, big moment.
That's so cool. Hey, we're recording this in advance a little bit from when this comes out. We got a little ahead of the recording schedule. Maybe by the time this episode releases, we'll have been jabbed up. Maybe we'll be Johnson & Johnson flowing in our veins, a little Moderna in our bods, maybe a little Pfizer.
And according to my family, we'll also be sterilized. So I hope you don't want kids because this is a free way to ensure that.
Wow. I mean, that is...
Oh, wow.
That's a huge deal, Caroline, for you. Like, you're making a lot of decisions with that in that moment.
Yeah.
I know. It's like, do I want to be comfortable now or do I want to be surrounded by
baby ever? Yeah.
I don't know. You know, and I'm being selfish. I'm choosing me.
You're choosing you. You're choosing. Mm-hmm. You're choosing life.
I'm choosing life. I'm choosing my life.
Hey.
Yes.
And with that choice, we are pro. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pro life. We are pro. Yeah.
It's actually pro life to get sterilized by the vaccine.
New drop. Oh boy. Well,
I mean, is there any more to giggle? I feel like we could keep plumbing the depths.
I took 17 pages of notes. We don't have to get to all of them, but
let's get to all of them.
Okay, well, by 17 pages of notes, I meant 4 bullet points. Haters gonna hate, God's Not Dead prequel, Christian music, homelessness, ? Okay, I think we're good.
Kevin, Kevin, thank you. No, I think that covered all of it. Thank you for your research.
I think we did it.
We did it, Joe. Okay, time for Roaster Toast. The way this works, we give it a thumbs up. Thumbs down. Holy toast. We send this song and Amy Grant all the way to heaven. Heaven-bound. Or Holy Roast. We send it the other place. We send it downstairs. We send it. Or you know what? If we're not sure, if we can't make a decision, if we're a little flip-floppy like a certain head of the CDC, then we can put it in purgatory, a la the space between. And we'll start, as per usual, with Caroline.
This song belongs in the roast category. It's what it deserves. But here's the thing. It was written by Amy Grant, and I have no choice but to toast because
I
support her. Whoa! As Kim Kardashian once said, I will ride for my man, and my man in this case is Amy Grant.
This is, man, and we're seeing right now a microcosm of what so many Republican congressmen and senators had to go through when they're like, fuck, do we condemn the guy who kind of killed all these people with the Capitol insurrection?
Ooh, but he is my guy.
But yeah, that's the thing. Congress has a strict ride or die my policy.
Always ride for my man in Congress. You swear on the Bible.
I feel like my empathy expanded in this episode just from that moment alone. I kind of get politics now.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's really simple.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for voting your conscience, Caroline. We turn it to Brothy for her vote.
Two thumbs toast.
Wow.
For this song.
Yay.
I mean, it's a hit. We've got a hit on our hands.
It's a giggle.
Wow. And okay, now it's time for me to put in my two cents. Amy Grant. Amy. You know, I think of watching not too long ago the documentary Framing Britney Spears. And the way we talk about young pop artists and the way that we are unfair in the media. And we are the media. We're a podcast. To young women in entertainment, either by infantilizing them, sexualizing them, doing both at the same time, but depriving them of their voice. In this song, Amy Grant singing with her own voice, pre-autotune. So it's all her, baby. She spoke her piece. She spoke her truth. Did I like it? No. Did I agree with it? No. Did I enjoy it at all? No. Were my toes a tap into the Velma Kelly core at the beginning? Little Chicago cosplay? A little bit. But because of this new cultural revolution, this sea change we're in the middle of, I gotta toast it. 10 out of 10. No notes.
10 out of 10.
Amy, 19-year-old Amy.
Score for giggle.
We're going all the way to heaven with giggle.
Well, you know, we're part of the comedy community, and if there's a song called Giggle, you know, you have to support it. It's your livelihood.
That's true. Yeah. There's a bias here.
It's your currency.
There's a bias here. We're very pro-giggle.
Yeah. We should have had Elizabeth Banks on this show alongside Brothy so she could say hello to this song.
Why?
Because of her website, Hello Giggle.
Oh.
Oh, no. That's Zooey Deschanel.
Zooey Deschanel.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Wow. Only real cool girls go.
I am so sorry for mixing those two up.
Elizabeth Banks.
Why did I think that was Elizabeth Banks?
Hello, Giggles. No.
I so thought it was her. Wow. Man, I'm thinking, you know what? No, I'm thinking of the Charlie's Angels remake. That's
You're
my
thinking
bad.
Of Banks of America.
Yes, because they were sponsoring the website.
Her other website.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's my bad. Okay, listeners, you know what to do. Go to @ChristianFunPod. You have to get out there. You have to vote your conscience. If we see anything less than a 100% victory for this song,
I swear to God,
we're canceling the podcast. Get out there at @ChristianFunPod.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Do it for Hill.
We did it. We did it, Joe.
Hillary Clinton, who it was announced today, will be played by Edie Falco in American Crime Story.
Crime Story. Oh, sounds like my mom will have to sign up for whatever streaming service that is so she can watch it.
Well,
the crime family, Clintons.
It's about the crimes done against Monica because it's Beanie Feldstein as Monica, Edie Falco as Hillary Clinton, and Clive Owen as Bill. Bill Clinton, which I cannot yet see.
I feel like he's, you know, this man's face, try as I can never remember it. So you could just add a wig and any makeup to him. He would look totally like Bill. Oh, yeah. This is going to work. I come around.
This is going to work.
This is going to work. How this is going to happen. Yeah, this is going to be good.
There's a whole generation, I think, has face blindness for Clive Owen. But if you were around, if you were alive in the aughts, if you were there in the theaters watching Closer by yourself...
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't watching the Criterion in the theater the entire time.
Oh, man. We'll look for those crimes later. We're bringing it down now, Brothy. As you can tell, we're playing the synth music. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles. We're going to a more worshipful space. We're all turning in our Headspace apps and giving Papa Gupta a few dollars in his pocket in the process by doing so.
Yep.
He gets
it's
those royalties.
It's important that we do that.
Yes. And we're not here to plug ourselves. We're not here to promote ourselves. We're just here to lift our projects up and to lift ourselves up to the Lord as a humble and loving sacrifice.
Spiritual.
And we start, as per usual, with Caroline.
You can lift me up as a humble sacrifice at Caroline's Farts on social media. And I don't have a lift up this week. I'm coming up empty. I don't have anything. Nothing new.
Wow.
All old media. I'm sorry.
Do you want to yield your time to someone more deserving?
Yeah, I'll yield my time.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Great. Thanks, Carolyn. No, that's all. You didn't have to yield to anyone in particular.
Oh, okay.
Just the concept of yielding your time.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Caroline. We turn it to Brothy. Brothy, where can people lift you up on social media? And how can they lift up your many projects that you have going in Hollywood
right
now?
Many projects. They can lift up my social media presence by following me on twitter.com/... or whatever it is, a new URL, Brothy Gupta. So that's BROTIGUPTA. I know it's not particularly, you wouldn't guess the spelling from hearing it.
I would have guessed the spelling.
You would have guessed it.
Please give Gavin a trophy.
And I also have a podcast that I co-host with my friend and enemy, Dylan Galula. It's called Lecture Hall Podcast, and it's on patreon.com.
A Patreon-only podcast.
Yes, a Patreon-only podcast.
Deluxe.
And then just another thing I want to plug is the show 911.
Oh, ooh, man, which one? 911 Lone Star with Rob Lowe or Regular Edition with Peter Krause?
I mean, Regular Edition with Peter Krause, but definitely check out Lone Star as well. I haven't gotten there yet.
Oh, man, I can't wait. Man, I gotta watch this now, right? Like, it's good? Connie Britton was on it at one point.
Connie Britton was on it. It is, Kevin, it is bonkers television. I recommend every second of it more than the last.
Sounds like my style.
Oh my God, okay. Peter Krause, who I drunkenly said I love you in Sports Night at a party to one time.
Wonderful.
And I felt a little bad about it, but at the same time.
And then in Peter's mind, the song Giggle starts to play. Do I love this man? Do I support him? Do I give him a hug? Or do I laugh
exactly
at him?
Brothy is one of my favorite follows on Twitter. Brings me joy in the timeline every damn day. Worth your following. So everyone go follow her.
Thank you so much.
Agree.
You can follow me at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. I'm going to lift up the book Mike Nichols Alive by Mark Harris.
A book?
Ooh. It's a book.
Wow.
I love books again.
Kevin reads.
Wow.
I'm reading. Everyone do this.
Kevin's book club.
Get your little notes app or your notepad out. I'm going to give you a life hack right now.
Oh, shoot.
Reading while walking. Do it. It's so fun. Get a book, go outside with a mask on, and then walk around while reading. Walk around while reading. Walk
it's
around
nice.
While reading.
It makes it go by quickly, right?
Yeah. Especially on your Kindle. I mean, ebook reader of choice that's not owned by Daddy Bezos. Very fun to do. And you get this Mike Nichols book is thrilling. Showbiz story. What's that?
Is it a fiction or nonfiction?
It's a biography of the director Mike Nichols, who you may know as the director, and I just list everything he's ever directed. Like, literally every single thing.
Did he direct any Pixar movies? Because if not, I don't know him. I don't care.
Yeah, he directed Coco. So don't you feel like shit now.
Boo! Yay!
Mike Nichols directed Coco. And that's the hashtag for this episode.
Yes.
And I will read.
Well, you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere on social media. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun after you're done subscribing to Lecture Hall. If you have any money left over, maybe you can subscribe to us as well.
Please,
and you get more GCF every Friday. And then you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, and we donate $1 to charity because we're so nice. And we do that every month. Caroline, what is the charity for the month of March that we're donating to?
Today's charity is HOUSE, which is an acronym, Helping Our Underserved Sisters Equally. It's a GoFundMe. You can find it in our show notes if you want to click on it and find it and then give a little donation, because they're helping house people here in LA. It's amazing. I also have a little housekeeping announcement. If you happen to be a designer or you have any ideas for new GCF merch, You can email us at goodchristianfun@gmail.com. I feel like it's time to just refresh the stock and see what we got. So if you have any ideas or any ardent desires, even if you're not a designer, you can feel free to email us your idea and you might see it come to life.
Brothy, you can feel free to email us too with any ideas that you have.
Yeah, I'm going to.
She's
got some opinions.
If I don't win, I'm gonna lose it.
It is a sweepstakes. Everyone does free labor until we pick one.
Oh, yeah.
That is true.
Don't get it twisted.
Oh, my God. Well, Brothy, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
It's fun talking to you. Delightful freaking time. It's so good to see you again after almost a year. Oh, my God. Do you like cookies? I'll bring you some Kevin Bacon. If you can eat.
Oh,
can you
eat
gluten and
yes.
stuff? Okay, great.
I can, and I would love that.
Perfect.
That's wonderful.
We'll
okay.
do it. And there's nothing left
thank
to say
so much.
Except for an Olive Pod's people said, Amen. Now, there are no covers of this song that I could find on YouTube, unfortunately.
I wonder why.
I don't know why. I don't know why there's not a million covers. Another GCF challenge, do a cover of Giggle. But there is. There is an instrumental karaoke version of this song.
Ooh, so we can all sing along?
And we can listen to that going out.
Giggle.
Oh.
Giggle if you want to. I really hate you.
Whoa.
If you're ugly and mean.
And that's the message we want to give to our listeners. Don't be ugly.
Thanks,
don't be mean or you'll be laughed
yeah.
at. Be nice and hot and we'll laugh with. Ugly
yeah.
and mean, laugh at. And that's the GCF promise. Okay, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.